Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back to Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. This is Lewis.
This is Dennis.
This is Harold.
All right, we pulled that off.
And we pulled that off. Guess. So, indeed, it is actually a welcome back, Lewis. For those people who might know, the reason why it's been kind of quiet on Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual Facebook. Facebook is because...
That's what they call it in the Philippines, actually.
Is because Facebook. Lewis has been gone.
Yeah, so, I was on a little vacation with the wife and the family. Went back to the motherland for about 2 weeks. Enjoyed the sights.
Why did you say motherland?
The motherland. I'm so Filipino right now. You guys don't even know how Filipino I am. So, yeah, it was a nice little relaxing break. Celebrated my in-laws' 50th wedding anniversary, so that was really nice.
Congratulations to them.
Yeah, you know, props
to them. And we saw those pictures. They look great.
Yeah, they look great. You know, it was a wonderful celebration. Manila Cathedral is beautiful, hot, humid location, but yeah, it was really nice. So it was nice to step away from the day-to-day grind, but you know, it's nice to be back. It's nice to be back. And I mean, if I'm not mistaken, or if I may share, I wasn't the only one who went on a little bit of a vacation. So Dennis, welcome back as well. You and your tan.
I know, so, dude.
Yeah, man.
It's epic.
I thought I got tan.
It's a thing.
You got tan.
And by the way, just so you know, I like hats now.
Dennis came back and changed, man.
It's only one hat, though.
Tanned, a hat.
I saw a hat, and I was like, what's the biggest size you have? I put it on, and like, ooh. Perfect.
So where did you go?
Can we see the hat real quick? Is that a Hurley hat?
Yeah, it's a Hurley hat. Ooh, but yeah, it's from Haleiwa.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
so I like how he said that.
It's Haleiwa, bro. So, for those people who might not know where that is, spent about a week in Hawaii and Oahu in particular, and just went to old haunts and tried to show Phoebe what my wife and I used to like visiting before we had a child.
This is what we had.
When we still had money. Damn you, Catholic education.
Private school ain't no joke, man. All
right. You guys aren't going to ask me about my vacation?
No.
All
right,
cool.
It's cool.
What did you do the last 2 weeks?
So, Lewis, I had to hold down the website because of you guys. You jerks.
Hey, I was adding some stuff there, here and there. So, Lewis, was there anything... I can't tell you of any fanboy experience, turns out, in Hawaii. For some reason, I did not find any, like, toys or... I didn't watch a movie or anything like that. I spent, as you can tell from my gorgeous tan,
every day at the beach,
apparently under the sun,
at least 6 hours.
Apparently, there was no roof at your hotel.
It was all driving convertibles. Way,
this is the first time where I am, even though Lewis came from the Philippines, I'm darker than Lewis.
I know. How did that happen? I was way longer in a hotter place than you. Than you are.
Jeez. You spent your time in the refrigerator.
Basically, it was a refrigerator. Yes, I had the air conditioning full blast because, like, I love my in-laws. They kind of knew. They knew I was coming, so I was like, "Yeah, we have to buy the big." I swear, I didn't tell you guys this earlier, but they bought a restaurant. Capacity air conditioner for us. So I'm like, what are you trying to say? Like, I am in.
If I visit this place, there's a restaurant.
Yes, there is.
Are they
huge...
returning it?
I hope not. It's a big refrigerator.
They're saving it for their next trip.
I know. When are you guys coming back? 2-3 years? All right, we'll come back. So you asked me the question about geeking out over, or geekdom out in the Philippines. Unfortunately, same with you. I didn't get to catch any movies because it was kind of busy. But you know, the geek culture there is still very strong. Like I came back with. Unfortunately, I wish I had more
money.
Money. Yes, I wish I love that little thing. You know, your dollar does go stretch pretty far over there. But there's lots of fun, like cool exclusives out there. And the ironic thing is, you know, for us here in America, we consider these exclusives. But a lot of the stuff that they were selling at, you know, there's locales called like Green Hills, where they sell a lot of like Asian figures and toys. So yeah, they still the collecting culture over there is still very strong. A lot of the hot toys are still out there. Not to mention, you know, we joke about this, but knockoff culture is huge over there. So like, a lot of the, you know, you're not going to see Optimus Prime. There's like Optimal Prime, but it's like a really legit looking, you know, G1.
Just missing one ear.
Exactly. Or like,
what's the price difference between Optimus and Optimal?
Because it's like, Optimal for days. Exactly.
Because I'm buying one.
Everyone's getting Optimal.
They think that Optimus is actually the knockoff.
Yeah, exactly. Who's this guy? So, yeah, I mean, the culture there is still huge. Not to mention, actually, you know, one of the biggest things I tried to get over there, unfortunately, I didn't have a lot of luck, was Funko Pops. Like, they have a Funko Pop Asia, basically, a division out there that has exclusives that they don't sell out here. Like, I mentioned earlier, my kids wanted to get the Astro Boy series, and those were really hard to get. And in Filipino culture, like, Jollibee is a huge franchise, and they have their own Funko Pops over there. And this last year, there was a huge, you know, exclusive that was just being sold in stores, and you could only buy it at the Jollibee, at the restaurants themselves, if you bought like a bucket of chicken, which was worth about $10, which doesn't seem like much, but it's a lot of chicken, a lot of food. And I think I mentioned this in the chat earlier before I left, was that the day it went out, or the day they launched the exclusive at the Jollibee restaurants, they sold out in the greater Metro Manila area. Metro Manila being basically like the center of everything in the Philippines. It's the Los Angeles and New York of the country. So like everything there sold out. So, you know, through rumors and talking to some of my cousins over there, the best way to get those exclusive otherwise was to pay premium, you know, from an online seller, or going to like a province and hoping that they don't sell out over there. So unfortunately, I didn't get to do that. But I did, you know, thankfully I got one of them. So, you know, shout out to one of our listeners and followers, Malu, who actually bought me or got me one, and I cherish it. So I appreciate it very much. So yeah, that's my geek experience over there, is hunting for Jollibee Pops and having little to no success, unfortunately.
But you got a lot of chicken though, right?
I had a ton of chicken. It was delicious and sugary sweet spaghetti. You thought the Jollibee spaghetti here was sweet. Man. Oh, dude. And the tocino was like diabetic. I don't know if that's a word. But, yeah.
I just want to know.
You don't know right now, but Lewis is gout now.
I know. I cannot walk.
That would be a great requisite to be able to purchase the Funko Pops. Would be like, if you can finish this quart of gravy.
Oh, dude, I come home with 10.
I would be like,
if Dennis was there.
Is that all?
Where's the challenge? Yeah. But that's what killed me. It was a bucket of chicken with all this rice and spaghetti. I was like, oh, that's way too much.
That's a lot of carbs.
I know, exactly. It's a lot of carbs. My doctor's
gonna kill. Didn't throw the gravy on top of the spaghetti?
Dude, that actually sounds like a good idea.
There's no carbs in gravy.
It's just chicken drippings, right? I don't know. But yeah, that's the extent of my geeking out over there. So, yeah.
Before we move on to our main topic today, you know, speaking of geeking out, Harold kind of mentioned, I think it was like one of the first or the second day I was in Hawaii, I get a message from Harold talking about one of the latest like Niantic video games that came out, and that's Harry Potter Wizards Unite. And of course, I am a self-admitted like Pokemon Go fanatic. I reached level 39 just recently, and so that's pretty awesome, to be honest with you, and terrible at the same time, because I never walked.
You have a hack?
No.
I mean, sorry.
Especially since that hack just got sued by Niantic.
I mean,
beep. I'm Lewis.
What?
Oh, and so Harry Potter Wizards Unite came out, and I just kind of had to check it out, and I downloaded it. Admittedly, this time I did not use a hack. I've been actually walking around, but it's weird that I was hoping that they were going to improve Pokemon Go in some ways, yes, but in some weird ways they don't. Like, so for those people who might not know, it's one of those free to play games where you're supposed to be walking around. There's some places that they offer, like different places where you can get energy, and so everywhere in the world you can get little it's called confoundables.
Yes,
which is basically in the Harry Potter Wizarding World, there's a calamity that just happened, and then now there are all these different evil beings that are trying to cause havoc, and it's your job now as a sorcerer to try to fix everything. And what's weird is that even though I was intentionally finding opportunities for me to walk around, in Pokemon Go, if I turned my app on in my house, I'd find maybe one in like an hour or something like that. Right now, if I turn on the app, there's gonna be like 5-6 different things. So literally, there were times where I was just sitting in bed and playing the game, even though it was supposed to be walking around, and then I run out of energy. And I'm like, man. So I look at the map. There's hardly anything. And it turns out when Ventura, which is when this weekend I went there, and Ventura Harbor had like a ton of them. And so while walking around, just kept on like swiping, getting more energy. Nice. And more energy. And then I went back to the hotel and I played there. Sad existence, fun at the same time. So level 10 right now.
Wow.
I'm not proud of myself.
It's been a week and you're level 10?
Yes.
That's pretty good, man.
I know. What can I say?
Pretty awesome.
So do you think it's going to take off as well as Pokemon Go does?
I hear that it's not, because after the first week, it was already, it made less than $2 million. No, it made $2 million less than Pokemon Go on the same week.
Okay,
the same amount of time. And really, the one thing is that Pokemon is such a brand that everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry Potter, yes, that's there's a lot of people who know Harry Potter, but not necessarily kids, not necessarily mm-hmm. 5, 6, 7 year olds. My daughter, when she would catch me playing Pokemon Go, she would always ask, "Daddy, can I catch Pokemon for me?" And I'm like, "No, but the Pokeballs, it's a limited resource."
You're not throwing it right.
And so,
you think this is a game?
You can't give me my full
back. So you can only throw until you run out of red balls.
The ultra balls are mine.
The ultra balls, that's mine, okay? If you see yellow and black, damn, you've gone too far. No, and so my daughter saw it and it goes, "Ooh, what was that, Daddy?" And I showed her and it's like, "Oh, cool." And she left it. So if that's just a determination mm-hmm. of if it's going to succeed or not, I'm kind of worried about him.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I see. Yeah. Actually, on your advice, I downloaded Who this morning. So far, yeah, it is pretty fun. There does seem to be a lot more involved in it, and like mm-hmm. building your profile and catching stuff and whatnot. It's a lot less straightforward than Pokemon Go. I think Pokemon, the franchise and the brand itself, it lends itself very well to like the whole concept of you want to catch stuff. The Harry Potter, the storyline, at least for this app, it seems to be very, not contrived, but it's like it's forcing you to kind of go through these motions and find stuff. I mean, I'll see where it goes. My eldest, who's I think he's a demographic, he's 21 years old now, he grew up on Harry. So he's down with this. Here, I know. Does Harry have a longer name?
Well, he did grow up on Harry.
So we'll see how it goes.
Can you? We're known to make the name.
Yeah, the short name's longer. So
like Harold Potter.
Yeah, come on.
So yeah,
as you were talking about, I just caught another confoundable
nice, in my room. Great.
But the one thing though is that it's the one thing I have to say is that with Pokemon, when you capture something in Pokemon, like you're proud of it. Oh, I can show up. I have a Snorlax. I have a Charizard. This one's like, oh, I found a I found a Niffler.
Yeah,
cool. I can't do anything with it.
Can't use that word.
It's their word.
Hey. Whoa.
You mudblood.
Hey, man, that's okay. Fighting words. I know.
Okay, wow. Things just went dark.
You said things just got wet.
Said wet.
You did.
You said dirt.
No, before you did dirt, you said wet.
Okay. We're gonna have to check the
check the tape, and let
us know on the comments if Dennis did actually say wet
or dark.
Dark. We'll see.
Wet dark.
What? You wiggle. I don't know.
Whoa! Isn't those the Australian guys?
I love me some Wiggles. Speaking of Wiggles, you know, today the three of us were actually able to go and do something together.
Terrible transition,
dude. If you didn't say anything, it would have been the most amazing transition ever, dude. But no, you had to ruin it. So, you know,
speaking of Wiggles, we did three things.
Have you not noticed that that's how I
know, transitioned? But it's just hilarious.
You didn't let me get away with it.
Nope.
Okay. So, you know, one of the biggest jokes, or at least for me, is that I always think that Lewis, Harold, and I don't do anything together. And every single time I comment on that, Harold and Lewis correct me.
Yep.
But this time around, we actually were able to do something together, and we were able to watch a movie, which surprisingly, considering the 2 weeks that you were gone, like all these big movies came out, you know, summer blockbusters came out, and we only watched one.
I know.
Which I guess, thank God, we're only doing one review episode the next 2 weeks, so yes. I'm pretty happy about that. So today, we all decided to go together, and we watched the latest Pixar movie.
Toy Story 4. So, the newest release from Disney Pixar, the newest iteration or sequel? Quadruple? Of the, you
quadrilogy?
Know. Quadrilogy, right, yeah. of the Toy Story story. I think we're going to start off like we do most of our reviews. We're going to do a lose views. This thing.
Wait, what? Is that a camel dying? Yeah. What the hell?
The bad caramel. I heard him. This guy's kind of sad, actually. Like, oh, God. Somebody feed that guy. all right, so we'll start off with the plot of Toy Story 4. So, fair warning, there will be spoilers from this point on. Besides the plot, we will be reviewing the movie, telling you guys our thoughts, and like I said, deep dive spoilers. So, if you haven't seen the movie, pause the podcast for now. Come back once you see the movie, or if you want to be spoiled, then just hear how we like the movie.
Yeah, go ahead. Lewis likes spoiling you.
Yeah, we do. All right, so we'll start off with the movie. It actually. Gotta make it weird, man. You made it wet and dark. actually, speaking of wet and dark, the movie starts for 9 years in the past.
You have a buzz?
And a Leave Andy's mom out of this. So
I'll show you my Bo Peep.
Is your RC car stuck in the mud?
It's struggling, man. It's yeah, for those who haven't seen the movie, you're like, what? So the movie starts with a little flashback to when Bo Peep was was given away to a, I don't even know what that guy was really.
You know, it's so random because it was just like, who shows up at night?
I thought that guy was, I'm sorry, we're like that.
That started right away.
Yeah, know, but, you know, Bo Peep is taken away from Molly and from Andy's home, I guess to be given to either a donation center or to be given to another family.
The antique shop, I guess.
I guess, right? It goes straight to the antique
shop. They said he bought it for his daughter, and then she got rid of it.
I know we're jumping all over.
Because anytime I go to Craigslist, first thing I do is, A, I need to be there at 10 o'clock at night.
You know, yeah. Rain or shine.
Inside your house. I'm not going to meet in any public. Okay, sorry.
I honestly thought that was supposed to be like Andy's dad. I'm like, oh, this is it. We're going to meet Andy's dad. It's like, nope. Andy's mom is just, you know. Yeah.
Likes to keep the lights open.
Yeah. Jesus. Is that you?
Could be.
Where were we? We haven't even left on the first 5 minutes of the movie.
The first two minutes
of the movie. So, I'm sorry. So, yeah, we find out what happened to Bo Peep. Because if you guys remember from Toy Story 3, we see that Andy's, you know, toy collection has shrunken since, you know, the stories, since the first two movies.
And mysteriously, nobody explained why.
Right,
Bo Peep was not.
They say really quickly, like, you know, we've lost a lot of people. And then they pause for a second.
Yeah, there was that little, wasn't there like a little montage of like them shrinking?
Yeah.
Yeah, the number of toys the count of them at least going down at least. So yeah, so we finally find out what happened to Bo. You know, at that flashback, Woody, our hero, had a chance to be with Bo and be, you know, go wherever they were going, but.
And leave Andy at this point.
Right, and leave Andy ahead of the events of Toy Story 3. But we find out that Woody decides to stay with Andy, stay with his friends, Buzz, and everybody else. So we flash forward to the present where, excuse me, Buzz, Woody, and the gang are now with his new owner, Bonnie. Through a lot of shenanigans, including Bonnie's first day of kindergarten, Bonnie creates a new toy, which we'll get into later, because I still don't know how toys work in this universe. So
Bonnie is God.
Yeah, oh my God! What power does she have? So, through her first day of kindergarten, she creates a new toy to help her cope with this new reality of her new school. Woody decides to help this new toy along, which, again, as a father of a special needs child, felt a little problematic. I think we'll get into that later when we talk about that. Because I was like,
Forky
started off a little like, whoa, yeah, wait a second.
Oh my God.
I was like, just because he didn't come perfectly out of the box from a toy company doesn't mean he has to be slow.
Right? Trash.
I know.
I'm trash.
Again, we're not even like 10 minutes in this movie. No. So we're introduced to the new toy, Forky. So if you haven't been around social media or anything pop culture lately, Forky is a new toy that Disney and Pixar are selling. Woody, for whatever sense of...
Pause real quick.
Right.
You know that a Disney store is selling a Forky figure for $30?
Oh, jeez, really?
Excuse me? You mean the one that I could have made at the dollar store for a dollar?
Ironically, with trash.
but it's bigger.
Oh, okay. So you're saying we could have got a bigger spork? That costs $2? Yes.
Where do you even get a big spork?
Yeah. Philippines?
Be a wooden spork, but
it's a deluxe edition.
Did you not buy one?
I know. I thought everybody gets one at the airport. Here you go. Here's a crucifix and here's a spork. Woody, in a sense of odd heroism or in a way of trying to help Bonnie, even though Forky turns out to be a little, you know, odd and a little bit, part of me feels like almost suicidal, wanting to throw himself into the trash.
Trash!
Woody keeps trying to save Forky from himself, trying to keep him with Bonnie, explaining to Forky that you're her new toy. She needs you in his life. And a bit of foreshadowing and a little bit of, you know, kind of exposition, I guess, of what's Woody going through. Again, through more shenanigans. Of course, just like any Toy Story movie, Woody gets lost. He gets separated from his owner, from Bonnie and the rest of the crew, and they have to find their way back to Bonnie and crew. And of course, that flashback in the beginning has to mean something. So, of course, Woody runs into Bo Peep at an antique store where we find our new antagonist. Antagonist for the story. Her name is
Gabby,
thank you. And the creepiest... Gabby.
I know it's Gabby.
Sorry, yeah, I think you're right. Gabby. So nice.
I just said that.
Yeah.
But he went into me and said, "You're right.
You're right.
You're right. Except you, I guess."
Gabby and her crew of horrifically creepy
dolls.
Yes.
Look like the most typical of ventriloquist dummies ever.
Yeah, straight out of...
I'm surprised my daughter did not freak out. Yeah. Instead, she was like laughing.
Yeah, but you know who was freaking out? These two guys.
Two grown men.
Oh, Jesus.
No, it's what I do when I see something scary. I try to laugh. They're like, oh, God.
I wasn't laughing. I was like, oh, God. So many jump scares. But we'll get into that later. I'm sorry.
So we have...
Watch your back.
Some antique toys are trying to find... basically, we're introduced to these new antique toys. And what their whole premise was that Gabby has a broken voice box. So she is trying to get a brand new voice box out of course, all toys. Woody, who has a perfectly fine one.
Similar.
Similar make, similar build. Gabby's you know, motivation is that she wants to be fixed so she can, so she too can be played with, so she can finally be part of a child's life.
I mean, the perfect child that she's,
right, that
she's known for the longest time.
Right. She's kind of projected that this child is mine. And, you know, when I fix my, this voice box of mine, we'll be together and I'll finally get played with. That seems to be the theme of the whole series is, you know, childhood and being part of somebody's life. So, again, just like most everything, other Toy Story movies, you know, a couple of shenanigans, some great adventures, some great cinematography. I'm trying to remember what else happened after that. Yeah, actually, just a lot of shenanigans, and to the point where the end, the big ending, basically happens that the Gabby gets the voice box from Woody. It turns out her projected perfect life with this child was not so perfect, so she gets rejected.
And
yeah, that was okay. We'll talk about it. It looks like Dennis has some hot takes on that plot point too. And basically, we find that, you know, Woody reiterates that every toy has to be, you know, played with, or every child needs a toy. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a specific child. Just, you know, being part of it is the best thing that a toy can do. So we'll skip to the most important end part, is where, you know, when everything's finally resolved, Forky's back with Bonnie. Gabby, who we thought was going to be a bad guy, finds a child and is finally accepted. And, you know, and Bo Peep is happy being a quote unquote lost toy. You know, going basically in the wind wherever the carnival goes. And Woody is stuck in the middle. Does he go back with Bonnie to the comfortable life that he knows? Knowing well that in the future, just got, like his story, like with Andy, yeah, right, that he would be probably be given up or be get, or sold or thrown away, or does he join Bo as a lost toy, and he decides to stay with Bo. You know, he has a very heartfelt goodbye with the rest of the gang, and just similar to Toy Story 3, we see a wonderful moment of between Buzz and everybody else when they say goodbye. And that's how the story ends. So Buzz and I can't remember her name now. Jesse is a new sheriff of Bonnie's crew. Woody is with Bo Peep as a lost toy, traveling the world in the carnival. And, you know, Gabby and is with her new owner. And that's it.
Lose views.
Burr, burr, burr. Burr, burr, burr. So, go for it.
As usual, did we like it? Yes or no? Harold, I'm going to start with you. I honestly want to hear from you whether or not you liked it.
I loved it.
Do you know why I know why you loved it?
Because I was cracking up the whole time?
Because every 2 minutes, you just hear Harold go...
Okay, so, you know, if you guys don't remember the backstory for the original, Dennis and I watched the original Toy Story at the El Capitan when it first premiered in 1995.
Jesus.
So that's the backstory that at least I, me and Dennis have of the original Toy Story. And that's just, this, you know, obviously the very first Pixar movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so...
Wait, wasn't Bug Life Pixar?
No. Toy Story first.
Well, it's Life Pixar, but it did come after
Toy Story. 1998.
Oh, okay.
But
always confuse those two.
Yeah. But yeah, I the funny thing is, I really didn't want to see a Toy Story 4. Because Toy, like, I know Dennis disagrees, and but Lou's kind of with me on this one, where I love Toy Story 3, and I didn't want to see it to go anywhere past that. And I was like, yeah, definite money grab,
mm-hmm.
and that's all it really was. It's just, you know, that's when they started doing, yeah, we're going to do Cars 3, we're going to do everything else, it's all mm-hmm. sequels.
Which all failed, miserably.
Yeah, and then so this one comes out, and apparently, well, according to some people, it didn't make as much as they wanted it to make. But
it was like $20 million less than...
Yeah, like less than expectations, mm-hmm. which is kind of sad. But the reviews that everyone had been giving out were really positive, with a lot of people saying, oh, you might cry, you might not, whatever. The first thing, besides it being probably one of the funniest Pixar movies to me at least, was it is terrifying. Like, yeah. I had just mentioned, you know, a few minutes ago how, like, there's a lot of jump scares. Like, those ventriloquist
gummies.
Are terrifying.
Yeah.
They're coming at you like zombies. There was a lot of jump scares.
And it doesn't help that the antique store where they are in, the lighting of it is kind of dark and kind of moody.
Yeah. And I just found it very funny that that's the direction they went to when they get Jordan Peele to join the cast. Because, you know,
oh, yeah.
Jordan Peele, a huge comedian, before he started doing horror movies, and now that's all he's known for is the horror movies and Twilight Zone thing. So they bring him into the universe, apparently, and it goes all twisted. So, like, and I was telling Lewis over here, he went to get a drink, and for me, the best part of the movie, when they started doing the bunny and ducky plans.
Oh, dude, you missed
that. That was so good. Because, like, it was like the first two were like the ones you saw in the one you saw in the commercial.
Yeah. Okay. When they jumped the old lady.
Yeah. Right? When they jumped the old lady. The second one was just a different variation of that. So you figured that the third one is going to be exactly like that. Uh-huh. It was drawn out so long
to the point where they actually stopped the story and everybody's like, where's this going?
And it's like, don't worry, there's more. And it was like 3 minutes of just like, where is this going? And then they attack.
And it's by the way, it's the darker with the one, aside from that, is the fact that the end, you actually hear the woman screaming.
Yeah.
Like, it cuts away.
It doesn't show them attacking her. It does a pan back. And it just
and then you see Buzz's like horrified face. Yeah. And like, we're not gonna do that.
I was like, oh my god, this is so. But I looked to my left and I was like, Lewis is still getting the drink. So I felt so bad. That's why I was like, and then I said, save it for the podcast. But dude, I would literally just watch the movie just for that sequence. Because it is 5 minutes of like the best, like. Payoff, and then they do it again at the very end with like the plush rush, and then it's like, but it's just like, it was so good, man.
Speaking of payoffs, one of the characters there was that I really liked, and I thought it was just a stupid joke. Was the zebra or a unicorn? The unicorn's plan was always like, we're gonna frame
that's going to jail.
It was like, oh, that's kind of cute. And then when it actually happened, like, damn it, payoff. And so I'm along with the Herald right now is that I honestly didn't like the third one because I thought it was really, and I guess that's what it's supposed to be. It was supposed to be, or at least we thought it was supposed to be the conclusion of the whole thing. So that's what it really had to be heartfelt. It really had to be pulling and tugging at our heartstrings. But one of the things I always thought it was a little too much, and you know it. And at the end, I still didn't understand. Like, yeah, you still transfer. You don't have. You're not with Andy anymore. Yes, you're gonna get played. But the one thing that was always in my mind is Bonnie's gonna get older. Yeah. You're gonna get thrown out. What happens to you guys?
Yeah, the cycle continues.
Yeah, and I think that you know, when I'm going into this, I was not expecting anything, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I didn't really enjoy the Toy Story 4, and so I'm just gonna go into here, you know, blind. And I actually enjoyed it. I was with Harold. I was not giggling as much as Harold.
Sorry, man. But
because I was actually enjoying listening to Harold giggle. And it's like a laugh track when doing like the 90s comedies. It's like, cue now. But, you know, it was clever writing, I thought.
Uh-huh.
And it was still emotional, but in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, it was playing in the heartstrings in a different way, where it was melancholy. There was still some sadness to it, but you actually felt like there was a purpose, that there was not an end to the cycle, but there's another path. At least for me, it's like, oh, this is what happens to the other toys.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you don't just end up in the trash bin. You don't just end up. You know, there's always a chance. And I think that for me, you know, one of the aspects of it that I really enjoyed. So, thumbs up for me for this movie.
I'm kind of, you know, I'm in the middle of the road. I can't say that I enjoyed it as much as you guys. Maybe it's because I missed out on the freaking 5 minutes because my kid wanted popcorn 60 minutes into a damn movie. Sorry, I got the large on purpose. So put stuff in the box and then you can have it and pace yourself. No. Anyway.
He went full on.
You ravaged the first box of popcorn. Dude, I can have a popcorn. Trash.
Dude, why did that?
No, he didn't. He should know better. I told him that. If he could sit through Endgame, well, how could he not do this in this one? This is literally a third of Endgame, and yet he could be like, I need to have it now. I was like, oh my god. And I just knew it. I knew it as soon as I stepped out, I was going to miss something good. I was like, oh, God.
Okay, continue.
So, I think I'm firmly in the middle of the road.
This is the same rage that you had when a couple episodes ago when you were so pissed off.
About Aladdin? Well, but he's more mad at his kid than you know.
He's more mad at God. like I said, kind of in the middle of the road. Like, I know that I do get both of you guys' points. It's a lot of fun. The character stuff, like the small character stuff, was hilarious. But I felt that it kind of felt forced. Like, we obviously already used the word, it's a money grab because, you know, Pixar and Disney's trying to sell more toys and sell more DVD or Blu-rays eventually down the road. So I know that they were trying to play on a lot of heartstrings, but I didn't think it was as effective. Like, it sounds like you didn't like Toy Story 3 as much as I did or Harold did. I thought Toy Story 3 was a much better way to wrap up the story than this was. I see how they kind of gave Woody a new ending. Like, you know, seeing as, yeah, there is a different path as opposed to being either passed down from, you know, owner to owner or ending up in the trash bin like Lotso or, you know, the end of Toy Story 3. So I that's nice. It's very, you know, it's kind of a profound way of thinking of it. But, yeah, I thought it was kind of reaching at some point. So it wasn't as enjoyable as I would have liked. I'll give the rating, I guess, towards the end. But, yeah, it was good, but not the best Toy Story movie yet.
So you're saying you wanted Woody to have a happy ending?
I was wondering why he was smirking.
That's why I literally was like, I kind of choke. You know the thing. Sorry. Welcome back, Luke. I understand. I totally understand.
Did you enjoy this in the Philippines? Yes.
Yeah. Did you miss
none
this?
Of this?
Did we translate well?
Clever banter.
I get Lewis's point. For me, I really felt that the character, like the older characters, were really not even like second class citizens in this movie. Were like pretty much just like forgotten.
Yeah, they were cameos.
Really, Buzz Lightyear had the biggest cameo, where he's almost unnecessary to the plot if you really think about it. But you have to have him there because he's part of that Toy Story franchise. And then now, with, you know, Woody going on his own and doing his own thing, is he the face of the franchise if mm-hmm. they continue this forward, or do they move it on to Jessie? Because Jessie was basically non-existent in this movie as well.
Right, right.
Her big moment was getting that sheriff pin in the beginning part of the movie that, you know, starts Woody's heel turn. You know? That's when he started becoming Hollywood Hulk Hogan. And like, he's like, oh, brother, I'm going to get these in. But it's like those two and all the original Toy Story characters that made it into Toy Story 3 were...
They had a couple lines here
and
there.
Yeah. And like we were talking about it, at the very end of the movie, there's an in memoriam or a memorial for Don Rickles. You know, Don Rickles played Mr. Potato Head.
Right.
And Dennis even asked me, he's like, did Mr. Potato Head say anything? I'm like, he had two lines, which were basically just stock lines that they pulled from him, just saying,
okay,
you know,
okay,
hey, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, and Mr. Potato, they really were, and it's kind of, it's, yeah, I get that, and they're transitioning from the old toys into the new ones, because the big part of it was, you know, I can't remember the name of that one doll, but she was in charge of everything. She was basically the new Woody for Bonnie's thing. Trixie had like played a really big part, and then the unicorn that, you know, like Dennis said, set up the dad to get arrested. So I mean, that way, it seems more of a continuation than Toy Story 3 would have led on to believe, in that it was a conclusion. So if this is the conclusion of the story,
which supposedly not going to be doing any more sequels. That's
really?
What
okay.
That's what Disney said, that Toy Story 4 is the final sequel that they're ever going to do.
Until it makes them more money.
Until they make more money.
Because they said that about Toy Story 3, and then they started doing those small ones, like Toy Story of Terror and all those other ones. Like, that's where you first meet that Carl, what's his name?
Oh, God. Yeah,
Action Carl guy.
Yeah.
The guy played by Apollo Creed. So it's just like, I mean, but for what it was, and for the expectations that I had coming into it, thoroughly enjoyed it. And like we were talking about at the very end, I see at least Lewis and I saw that one of the screenplay writers was Rashida Jones. Rashida Jones, as much as she is supposed to be, you know, music royalty, she is comedy royalty. I mean, she came from The Office, she went to the Parks and Rec, and then she did Angie Tribeca. She's a comedian now. And for her to go from that, unless there's some other random person named Rashida Jones, which would be like finding someone else with my name, I mean, I really seriously doubt it. But, you know, it's great to hear that they're going outside of the box and saying, okay, we're doing a sequel to one of our biggest franchises. Why don't we go to a comedian?
Yeah. I actually enjoy the fact that it was, the other characters were side characters. I saw it, and at first I was kind of like sad that it was just kind of like, Lewis used the word shenanigans. That's what they were for. You know, they were just for like a comedy. Hell, even Buzz Lightyear's cameo, as you called it, really was just for comedy. The fact that he was using his stock sounds to make decisions on what to do, which surprisingly worked out. But I really thought, and you know, pardon me, Lewis, like, I really thought that you would enjoy this, especially because of the focus of Woody. And because if you take a look at the storyline of Woody, it really is the future of what we as dads are going to be.
God, don't make me think of that.
You know, it really is. You know, that 2 days that Forky was there, he discovered the irritating phase to the adventurous phase. You know, and in the end, you know, Woody has to let go of not just Forky, you know, but to everybody else. And, you know, the main message, at least for me, was that, you know, he was finally able to let go of Andy. Mm-hmm. Because even though he was able to have that cool moment in Toy Story 3, we can clearly see that there was still that hang up for him.
That's the word.
He still loved Andy. And this was finally a way for him to be able to say, you know what, I've taken care of you. I brought you through first grade. I brought you through college. You are now an adult. You're free to go and do your own. And I think that was the most beautiful thing for me, was that it made Woody into a character that was not one dimension or two dimension, or what's the flat dimension? One dimension. Okay. But, you know, they made Woody into somebody that I actually cared for. I have to tell you, this is the reason why when we did our rankings, Toy Story was never up there in my decisions, because I hated the characters. I never got into it. Buzz, Woody was just like bland to me. Mm-hmm. This actually made me love and actually appreciate the Buzz. Sorry, Buzz, Woody. And who knows? Maybe I'm gonna go look back and maybe I'll be able to appreciate him that more, in that way. But for this one, I actually enjoyed it, especially because of Woody.
Nice. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's not like I totally, you know, pooped on this whole movie. I mean, it's a solid story.
You sounded like Harold, bro.
Yeah. but I mean, besides the story, I love. You know, just any, I mean, Pixar movies in general just nowadays are just beautifully made. I mean, I can't think of any other ways to say it. Like, I loved how it looked, and every character still moves and talks distinctly in their own way, even especially the new characters. I think that was my favorite part too. I mean, Forky?
Yeah.
I know. I mean,
yes, the irony.
Spork, right?
Yeah, it's like the irony of being called Forky when you're clearly a spork.
And they even joked around with like wanting soup and wanting a salad, whatever it is.
Or a chili.
There you go.
So, you know, it's just beautifully rendered. I mean, I can't imagine how much work goes into making each one of these characters look the way they did. To the point
it was like 100 babies or something.
Right? Yeah, I saw that at the credits. It was a long time.
They did some. They did those characters. Did some work, man.
Yeah, really. Jeez. So you know, like even like I really appreciate how like Forky looked just like if somebody was pulling on an actual. I'm trying to remember. Like it almost felt like Gumby, because I know Gumby was basically stop motion, and like Forky's animation almost looked like stop motion in a CGI movie. And you know, it was just beautifully made. And what made those ventriloquist dummies so horrifying, part of me felt like, is because they look so real. Like the theater across from us was showing the Annabelle movie, so with their big old posters, I'm like, eh, okay, that's a little too close to home. No thanks. So yeah, I really dug that. So I mean, yeah, the movie is beautifully made. Definitely, you know, a wonder for the eyes. Yeah, maybe I'm just, you know what it is. I just realized when you
explain it's the popcorn.
It's a Like, you'll never look at popcorn the same way.
Because that movie, that movie built to that moment, and you missed it.
Like, how are you going to have Key and Peele and not have a moment? Yeah, they did. I just wasn't there. Dang it. So yeah, shout out to Key and Peele for being a great cameo in the series.
When your heart felt, the heartstrings were trying to tug at your heart. Yeah. The only thing you're going, damn popcorn. Damn.
It was clogged with butter.
I got a quick question for you guys. Was it me, or were you kind of thrown off by the fact that there was no short before the movie?
Yes. Oh yeah, odd choice, but yeah, I noticed that too. So for this movie, no short, no.
Yeah, when
no
I bow, saw the rain, I was like, oh okay, cool.
Yeah, I thought this was the short.
Yeah.
And then it went straight into the main storyline, and I was very, very, very confused.
What was the last Pixar movie that came out? Because I'm trying
Incredible
to remember. Did that have a short?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It had Bao. Oh, that was Bao. Yeah, that was the Bao. Oh, okay.
It had Bao.
What was the last one?
Incredibles 2.
We saw that together last year, too. Yeah, you're right. No, I was thrown off, too, because I was totally with you. When the rain started, I was like, okay, this is a sad short story. I'm like, oh, no, this is going right into Toy Story.
Yeah. Or I thought it was going to be like some kind of short story about Bo Peep.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was actually the movie.
The other big thing that was missing was when the directors came up. This is the first Toy Story that's not made by John Lasseter.
Yeah, right.
My son, who's a big, you know, CTVA guy, he was a friend, and, you know, he has a wonderful tendency of yelling stuff out. Like, where's John Lasseter?
Is that what he said?
No, he whispered in my ear, John Lasseter's not in this because of you know what. I was like, right.
Loose through popcorn.
I know.
That's why he had to get popcorn. It's actually your own fault.
Fine, throwing popcorn.
Could we go back really quickly to that moment that you guys had talked about that Dennis was very devastated about?
Which part? Yeah, go ahead.
It was the Gabby moment when she got rejected.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So in the movie, we finally have the big payoff, and that was the funny part, is that this movie is all about payoffs.
Yeah,
and we're like, yes, this is the feels. Even Forky stopped. It was almost like Forky was talking to all of us.
Yeah,
here it is.
Here's the big moment.
Don't leave, Woody.
Here it is. You two audience members.
Exactly.
Don't feel your popcorn right now.
You can bring her home. No, it's cool.
Oh, I know. That was hard.
That moment, literally, then it just go, oh. And then I was like,
I wanted to.
That's a freaking arrest.
Spoiler, kids.
I know she's supposed to be 7 years old, but damn, bro.
That's cold.
That's not harmony at all.
Aside from that devastating moment, what were some of your favorite moments? You know, definitely the unicorn getting the dad almost arrested.
Oh, the GPS was pretty funny.
Yeah, that whole sequence of,
With the dinosaur.
Yeah, the toys messing with the RV, basically. And making
Just them trolling the parents was, like, pretty...
Yeah,
it was
just
a great movie-long joke. That was pretty... I like.
Which, I know. I know we're gonna. We need to talk about what Lewis asked the rules of this
this universe.
This universe. But I'm surprised. That, you know, aside from Sid, them messing up with Sid in Toy Story 1. I think that's the kids.
Oh yeah.
That's the first thing they've ever revealed.
When the toys came to life and
like, why can't you? You know, why can't you just like whisper every so often or shout out things every so often, like they did in this movie? and the parents never actually, thought twice about it.
What Buzz did?
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
Hey, you forgot your bag.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I forgot my bag.
Because, like, it's funny because, like... So, actually, it's funny you brought that up because the same problems that I had from the first Toy Story came back to this one where, you know, in the first Toy Story, Buzz is having a hard time realizing that he's the toy, not an actual, you know, space... whatever he is. Yet, he played along with the laws of, like, if Andy's in the room, you stop. You know, for all of Forky wanting to jump back into the trash every time Bonnie would touch him or hold him, he would stiffen up. Or, you know,
I think this is my understanding.
Brr, hold on.
Is
Harold explaining the universe,
the Toy Story universe in a nutshell? I think as long as someone is aware, like a physical or a mental presence, then they can't move.
Okay.
So, like, if they like, every time Bonnie would, like, blink for a second, that's when Forky would move. because technically she wasn't looking directly at him.
Okay.
And then she wasn't physically controlling him by holding him. It was just like natural. So every time, like, remember when people would just move their heads? That's when people move. So it's like, you know, the whole, it's the freeze tag thing.
No, but as Lewis was asking, though, is that, and I know we're talking about stupid, going dumb, aesthetics of, but the fact that Forky, who was just like 2 hours old, knew that if somebody was there, you have to stop.
Yeah. And not to mention, I just realized, Forky recognizes the fact that he is a utensil. So are utensils cognizant of their existence?
You gotta put eyes on them.
Was it the eyes or was it the bunny? The wiener?
What? You started pointing downwards. Was it the eyes or
the feet?
Oh, yeah, the
feet. His Woody.
No, that doesn't work either, because Key and Peele's characters were never belonged to a kid, and so they never were played or never had.
But I remember in Toy Story 2, all of those toys that were just in the store were fully aware as soon as people were like nothing. So
it's kind of like the Twilight Zone mannequin episode.
Yeah. Yes,
you're right. Everybody's alive when you're not looking.
Oh my god!
You okay?
Yeah.
You literally went.
That's still that Twilight Zone episode still terrifying.
Ironically, Twilight Zone. Jordan Peele
now.
I'm seriously like, when those characters, those ventriloquist dummies first came up, I was like, dude, that's not cool. And then they were doing jump scares, and I was looking at your child and looking at Dennis's child, and I was like, why am I the only one scared?
Every single time they would jump, I like you, I thought the Phoebe was gonna be crying or something. She was like.
I was like, I was slapping the chairs from laughing and from like being scared. And I was just like, I'm glad I was with you guys instead of like, you know, having to watch this movie by myself, because I look like some kind of it's kind of weird. I was just like having spastic attacks in the middle of the theater. Like, what's wrong with this guy?
Anything else? Any other fun moments that you remember?
Question.
Well, let's talk about Key and Peele, because Lewis can't talk about him.
What?
Let's talk about Key and Peele.
Oh, because he wasn't there.
Lewis can't talk
about those, like, their characters. I mean, obviously, from what Lewis brought great comedic value to the movie itself. Key more than Peele, which is always nice, because, you know, Peele's been having, like,
he's had his run.
He's like the more successful one, and then for me, Key was like hilarious in this whole thing.
He was in Predator.
He was in Predators.
That was the one thing that I like. If I were a betting man, I would have been like, "Damn, Key's gonna have the most successful."
Because he's a funnier guy. Because he looks funnier.
He's tall. He's handsome. That's the guy. My money's on that guy.
Between the two, I want to be you.
Key. Yeah. Because Peele's just another like a Filipino sized guy. You know, like, he got no hair.
And it turned out, oops, successful.
Oscar winner.
Oscar winning scary guy. Actually, I want to say, speaking of scary, I had a question about Bo Peep's skunk mobile. So did they like cannibalize a skunk?
Yep.
Or did they, because in Toy Story canon, RCs are alive. So did they cannibalize an RC and riot its carcass?
Both.
God damn, Bo Peep.
Which, let's jump to Bo Peep. They made Bo Peep such a badass character.
Seriously, they made her Linda Hamilton.
Exactly, I was going to say. She's Sarah Connor.
She got her arm broken off. She's like, don't worry, I got tape.
She's like Imperial, you know, Imperiosa or whatever her name was from Fury Road, and Sarah Connor and whoever else you can throw in there. She was nuts. Like, I love the character development, but at the same time, I was like, dude, wait.
What did you see out there?
Yeah, exactly. What
kind of... I know. When he kept asking that question, I was like, you wouldn't believe, man.
Yeah, she literally had her non-flashbacks looking away from the camera, just like...
And that one of those flashbacks, he was killing a skunk.
Yeah. Just skinning it, like, and you would use your skin as a ride.
And where was RC this whole time?
See?
There you go.
Oh, God.
Can we talk about the the character that they thought was going to be the other big breakout character?
Not yet. Hold on. Since we're talking about Bo Peep, I just wanted to share a real quick antidote.
An antidote? Oh my god.
Because she's poison. No, like, I never realized that Bo Peep was a porcelain doll.
Yeah, I thought she was just a regular...
Yeah,
right. But then, I don't know if you noticed, but every so often when she was moving, they were actually making the clink-clink of, like, something breakable. Okay. And so when I saw her arm, like, broken, I was like, oh my god. Ever since that moment, every single time she would do an action sequence, that moment, how's she doing?
Is it going to detach?
When she would jump down from far, and then land, why is she not breaking?
Physics.
That kept on going every single time. And so I was like, of everybody, I was looking at Bo Peep. Oh my god, that's amazing. And the other thing is the fact that she can take off her dress.
Like, if she's on porcelain.
Interesting. So porcelain doll with cloth.
Yeah, with fabric. Yeah, under things. Pants. Action pants.
There you go. So, sorry, you were saying?
I don't know, I just, you know, the character or the actor that's having his moment, apparently, has finally joined...
Oh, I know.
The Disney Pixar universe? Yeah. So Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, as Duke Kaboom. And it's like distinctly Keanu too every time we talk. Like, that's Keanu. So yeah, I mean, do you think he's gonna go from where does it go from here?
I think that's just it. It's just the one.
This movie is actually pretty chock full of pretty solid cameos, or at least, you know, voice acting. You know, because I know these cartoons obviously take years to prepare. So these folks knew what Keanu was gonna be a big thing in 2019, right? It was a like your 1999 prediction. Every 5 years, Keanu comes out of his hole and blows our minds. So, yeah, good on Pixar to anticipate that Keanu was going to be a big deal and that he was going to, you know, put butts in seats, I guess. But, yeah, I thought it was a fun character. I thought it's fun how he kind of played off of his stereotype of being, like, yeah, the action guy and Canadian. So,
and spoke the same way.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I got Keanu to say whoa again.
That's a great part.
Damn it.
It's like a slam dunk.
If you hit till that popcorn, I would have thrown it in the air and be like, yes! Yes!
And then Lewis would have gone in.
And I believe too. Like, hey, what happened to Gabby? Where is she?
Oh, she had a face turn. She actually turned into a pretty good character.
Yeah, I left again.
Speaking of which, was Gabby actually a bad guy?
No, not really.
No, I think you're right. No, he wasn't really a bad guy. Not like Lotso was, or
she was an outright evil,
like the miner from the second movie either. So yeah, she. I mean,
yeah, Lotso was a douche.
Yeah, he was a straight up evil guy, and the miner was pretty selfish in a sense. And but I think Gabby is a bad guy. Actually, I like that. I like that part too. That they didn't, you know, paint anybody specifically evil.
This except time, the ventriloquist
dummies.
But they just happen to be, you know, thugs.
Yeah. It was great because, like, even in the movie, like, when that lady turned over the carriage and the doll was there, even she got freaked out. I was like, yes! If I saw that too, I'd be like, nope. I would have thrown that baby and all out into the freeway.
Just their first scene, literally, when they're pushing her in the stroller, I was like, this
is Vegas.
This is not good. Why are they showing this? There's children in the audience.
And then the wheel kept on squeezing.
I was just like, oh god, something's gonna happen. I was like, someone's getting murdered right now. First murder in the Pixar universe.
Well, there was
already, there's just tons of room behind.
No, there was no. This movie already had the murder by the plush rush. Remember the lady, the old lady?
Oh, yeah, they probably killed her.
Oh, that part I missed.
The ones, those
popcorn. Sweet. You know, from now on, just no more popcorn. Sorry, kids.
It wasn't that funny.
It was hilarious.
It was probably the funniest thing I've seen in like 10 years. Because it was, going back to this, it was like, those that long of a build-up where you're just like ready to laugh, and it's just like, what's going on? It's like,
It reminds me of the Simpsons movie where the rock in a hard place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it stopped, and then all of a sudden it goes boom. Yeah. Like that reminded me of that when I watched it.
Yeah, okay. So then I'm like, oh god.
Okay, so anything else? No, going once, going twice.
It's just like there's a lot of.
It's a good movie.
It's a fun movie. Mm-hmm. Obviously, family movie, supposed mm-hmm. to be for kids. Mm-hmm. But like we talked about before, if the franchise itself has been, it's 24 years old already. Jesus Christ, people who are born in 95 or 20. But, so that means, at least for us, we started out watching them when we were a lot younger. So we've had, you know, we got to experience the whole series in our lifetime, mm-hmm. where we were able to access and see everything. So it's nice to see, you know, where it's developed from part one going all the way to now. Even though, like I said, we prefer a part three as being like the actual finale. This is not...
Boo.
Yeah, this is not a terrible ending by any means. It's just different from three. Yeah. So it's like a great continuation and end for the series, if that's how they're going out.
Yeah. Well, again, the one going back and defending my position that although it doesn't need to be defended, it's just really that it was, at least for me, there was more... like, I'm the type of guy that when I watch movies like Harry Potter, like one of the things I really was really pissed off at J.K. Rowling was that she only gave like half a chapter for the ending. Like, I wanted to know what happened with what happened to Ron, what happened mm-hmm. to Hermione, you know, all those things. And you give them a small cute stuff, but you never really get the substance. And this one, at least, you know, at the end, I knew okay. Woody is going to be, for the rest of his life, is going to be with Bo Peep. He's going to be saving his toys and everything. Mm-hmm. No, next 10 years or so, it looks like Jesse and everybody's safe. At least there was that continuation for me. That's what I was able to appreciate mm-hmm. all the more. So let's give him a rating. How many heads of sheep is this?
For me, out of 5, I'd give it 3. Or you know, my personal rating, I give it 3 kabooms. Ooh. Out of 5.
There you go. 3 kabooms, I like it.
3 kabooms out of 5.
I'd give it like a 4 out of 5. Right. 4 kabooms.
Yeah, I'll go this way. Of the 4 Toy Story movies, uh-huh. I think this is the one I like the most.
Oh, okay. Wow. I thought you were going to say, of all the 4 Toy Stories, this is a Toy Story.
This is a toy.
Of all the 4 Toy Stories, this was Toy Story 4.
Okay, that's it for us today. And, you know, Lois. And Lois.
Lois.
You know, welcome back. To be honest with you, I was trying to convince Harold to do a recording just so that, you know, that we can... Actually, no, that's a lie. We didn't really talk about that.
Just a little bit. Un poquito. But just, yeah, but you were there for that, because yeah. If we did it behind your back, we've done it many times.
Since we're here and face-to-face, reading through it, I really felt like Lois got butthurt when we even, like,
suggested it.
It was a different time zone. I fell asleep.
That's why I was like, okay, I guess...
He became quiet because it was, like, 5 in the morning.
I was surprised I was even awake to reply.
Like, oh, okay. Every time you'd reply, I'd be like, 13 hours, 15 hours.
I was actually surprised you'd reply. I was like, oh, what time is it over there, dude?
Yeah, I have no life.
It's like up at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, you know I'm not doing nothing.
And like, I have this, and I was in the Hawaii time, so...
Sure, which is still the same as California.
Is that the same thing, though?
No. It's in the Pacific somewhere. No, somewhere.
You just donated it to a dolphin? We're pointing to Dennis's Apple Watch, sorry.
Which, by the way, if we ever start at the Patreon, ask us about what happened to Dennis's Apple Watch. Great story. So, yes. So, Dennis's Apple Watch and Dennis's apartment.
Yes. And Jamba Juice stories,
apparently. And Jamba Juice stories. There you
all
go.
For a donation on Patreon.
There you go. So, that's it for us today. I hope you enjoyed our episode. As usual, please check out our website, 2fanboys1casual.com. This is where we have articles and all our old episodes from 2 to 80-something.
Yeah, I think we're at 90 now, actually.
Are we going to be 90?
Oh, yeah, it's our 90th episode.
We're 90?
Yeah, I think so, dude.
On Facebook, 2fanboys and a filthy casual. If you're not already on there, that's where we post The podcast, whenever it goes live, we share any fun articles and pictures that we can find out there for the rest of you guys. And thank you, everybody who responds and replies and hits like to whenever we post stuff. So we really appreciate it.
And since Lewis is back now, you know, we're going to have a little bit more content.
Yep.
Hopefully. Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
You're flying solo, dude.
I'm like Lewis, I actually work at work.
Oh, snap. I'm just kidding.
I don't work at all.
I'm not even going to try to argue that.
Then you can follow us on both our Twitter, which I really tried.
Yeah, you
Twitter and Instagram. Two fanboys, one casual.
Okay, that's it for us today. Hope you enjoyed our episode. As usual, this is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
Harold.
Plus Rush.
You missed it.